Well, what happens is people get married for different reasons. Some for beauty, some for money, some for prestige. You know, you marry into a family and, hey, look who I married. Some people, like I was talking to somebody and I was telling how some people will marry a 80-year-old man with $1 billion and they're only 19 years old. You know, that's kind of sick, isn't it? But what are they doing for? They're waiting for the old guy to just kick over and then they get all his money. And so marriage is really kind of a messed up thing in the world. If you're in a Muslim place, you can just marry this one. You got the new product, you marry another one, add that one there. And then you got another one. Oh, you can have 40 or however many you want, you know. And so that's just the way it is. So when we look at marriage, we have to look through to the Word of God. And, of course, I like that where Brother Don says, let's go to the book of Proverbs. What I like to do, the book of Proverbs, is I get the whatever chapter, whatever date it is, I read that chapter. So if today is the 28th, I read the chapter 28. And just do that every day. You got 31 chapters. And so every month you have enough for every day. So that's a good one just to get, besides your regular reading, but you want some wisdom, read it that way. But he picked out marriage for me, and I just thought, well, that's awesome, because ever since I was a young kid, I knew I was going to get married. I mean, that was just a fact. I thought, I'm going to get married. So the next problem was, who was I going to get married? You know? So, you know, here I'm just a little kid just thinking, okay, there's somebody out in this big world that I'm going to marry. You know? So then, you know, you go over there and you kind of do your shopping. You know, you go over there and you do shopping and you go like to the department store or whatever. But, you know, you need guidance. And sometimes you say, this is the one. And God says, no, that's not the one. And you know what? God told me a lot of times that that wasn't the one. And I am so blessed with the one that I have, because I didn't do that one. I didn't pick that one. God did that. And it's just been an awesome, you know, it's just been an awesome ride in life. And yeah, you're supposed to graduate in 4 years. I graduated in 7. And I didn't realize that, you know, God had a plan there that, you know, you just wait till the 7th year, maybe that's a biblical thing, and you'll get your wife. So, all right. Now, on the serious side, I want you guys to realize that marriage is the foundation of Christian stability. Yeah. You might say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, when you look at the church, what does God call the church? He says it's my bride. The whole picture is marriage. You got Jesus Christ, the husband, and you have us, the church, as the bride. When you look at Ephesians, you find out that when you do like weddings and such like that, and you preach about you know, your wedding and stuff, you always throw in God and his relationship with the church. So when we look at that, we see that the marriage was a planned thing, and it's an important thing. Now, it's interesting because when you look at the church and you say, well, how important is my marriage? Because that is one thing that I want you to leave. When you leave here today, I want you to think about your marriage, okay? How important it is. Because a lot of times people marry, and they kind of like their marriage being a sparring partner. You know, that's not what God intended. God doesn't want you to marry your sparring partner. That is not what God... Or God want... you know, or you think, well, I married my servant. God didn't want you to do that either. God made me, you know, where I have this trophy to display. So here's my trophy, guys. You guys look at my trophy. That's not what marriage is all about. Marriage is about the stability of the church. When you look at the church, and for instance, I just thought of some things, a church of 50 people. If you have a family, one family, a family of 5 that are having marital problems, that's 10% of the church that's having a problem. 10%. Now, if you look at your body and you have 10% of your body is having a trouble, guess what? You're going to have problems. Now, a lot of times it's not that way. It's more than just one family in the church. And a lot of times we go to church and we look good. I mean, we got our ties on, we got everything shined, and we look really good because we're going to put our best foot forward there on that Sunday. And we come to church and, but you know what? What about the rest of the days? How's your marriage going? And you look at this and you say, well, here, at least I'm getting my family to church. You know, that's not what marriage is all about. It's not about getting your family to church. It's about living compassionately and peacefully with your spouse. Amen. A lot of times we just say, well, you know what? She just turned out not very good, and so I just kind of accept that. And she does her thing, and I do my thing. That's sad. We stay out of each other's way so things are peaceful. And I know of places where they sleep in different places in the same house. That's today. I thought that was in the movies and stuff like that. But they do that today, and they're supposed to be Christians. And that's today. I'm not talking about, I heard about that. It's today. What a shame. We should be embarrassed. We should walk out of the church with our heads hanging low if you're part of that. You know, I think about marriage, how important it is in the development of your children. Your children, they think of church, and then they look at mom and dad and say, is that right? Is that wrong? And then they go home and they listen to the preacher, and the preacher does his thing and he says, this is what way it is. And then we go home and we live differently. Dad goes and yells and screams at mother. Mother just screams back, and they have a big old, sometimes even fist fights and things like that. And they're not supposed to tell anybody. Whatever happens here at home, don't tell anyone. Guess what? It gets out. Those little innocent babies, when they get old enough, it's usually the youngest ones go out there and they'll tell on you. And you know what? That's not the worst part, because God's judging you. You're wrecking not your house, but you're wrecking the church. And a lot of times people just say, well, you know, this is my business. No, it's not your business. It's God's business. It's the church's business. And so many times we see, oh, you know, my marriage is not really that important. It is. If you have, like I said, you're a church of, or you're a family of five, you have three children, you're developing attitudes toward the church. You'll see, in fact, you know, I do a lot of camps. I've been doing camps for 17, 18, oh, 19 years. And at three camps a year, you know, you're talking about a lot of camps. Almost 60 camps. I see your children. I teach your children. I know things about you that you did not know I know. And sometimes it's sad. Sometimes they'll come up to me and they'll talk to me about it. And you know what? You might not ever hear about it from me, but I'm praying hard for you. Because it's a shame, because you are wrecking the church in your area. You got these precious little people that are going to grow up and they're developing attitudes just like you. In fact, a lot of times you don't even have to know who they are. You just say, oh, I know whose child this is. And it's sad. It really is. Marriage is so important to God's church. It is so important. Our marriage gives our children a view of the church. Our marriage can make our children stumble. And you know, that is so sad. So how are we going to correct that thing? Well, first of all, let's look at Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22. And I love this scripture here because I believe in it with all my heart. It says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. It's interesting here because the Hebrew word here, favor from the Lord, it actually means that it makes God happy. You know that? When you get married, it makes God happy. Now, just think about that. If you want to do anything for God, well, the first thing, of course, when you're young, you get married, and that makes God happy. That's awesome, because God designed that. But in order for things to work out, the first thing you got to do is marry in the Lord. Marry only in the Lord. Not just somebody that says, I'm a Christian. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Apostle Paul, he shares with us a command. A lot of times we say, well, that means it's only for the widow. But many times when you read the Bible, you'll find out that the Bible is talking also in principles. So if it's talking to the wife, it's also talking to the husband. If it's talking to the widow, it's also talking to any available person that's single. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 39, we see here, Apostle Paul says, a woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. Now, it's interesting here because it says that, you know, she can marry anybody. So you go over there and, you see a whole bunch of people. And you see, well, okay, I can marry anybody, you know. But then he says what? They must belong to the Lord. Belong. Ownership. That doesn't mean they go to church. Let me say, oh, they go to church. That means they belong to the Lord. That means their mind. That means their actions. That means their attitude. That all belongs to God. If you want a happy family, then you better marry in the Lord. You know, I don't know. It's kind of funny when you're young. Of course, you got to realize that when you're 16 years old, you only have a half a brain that's been developed. Did you know that? Okay. If you wonder why some kids make bad mistakes, because they only have half a brain. All right, so, but you know, you think about it, that when is it when you actually develop your whole brain? Well, I don't know. I didn't, you know, don't really have the facts on that thing. But so you got a 16-year-old that's got half a brain, and it's interesting because at 16 years old, that's when everything kind of kicks in, and all of a sudden everybody's beautiful now. Oh my, look at, and oh, look at her, or you know, and wait a second. You need to look for someone who belongs to the Lord. Turn 18, say, oh, well, I'm 18 now, I can drive. Still, whoever it is must belong to the Lord. You know, not one of us are perfect. And we have our ups and we have our downs. And if your marriage, if you're married to somebody that is always down, you're in trouble. Because there's going to be a time when you guys are both down. Then what? When you marry somebody that belongs to the Lord, one of you guys is going to have enough gumption to say, hey, we better stop acting this way. And one of us is going to help us through. Otherwise, you're going to have both people sinking. You know, I think about a drowning person. A drowning person, if there's someone out there drowning and you can't swim very well, don't go and try to save them. Because then there'll be two people that are dead. But a drowning person becomes very strong because all they need air. They need to get up. They need to get out. And if you come to them and you're swimming to them, they're just going to push you so that you go under and they go up because they're not really concerned about you. They're concerned about themselves. And that drowning person will drown you unless you're able to grab them, turn them around so they can't do anything to you, and then drag them to the side there. But we can see that. That's a picture that's very easy to see. But people will enter, they'll walk down that aisle. They're marrying a drowning victim or a person that's drowning, and they expect to have a great marriage. And you expect to go to church and be all excited about church. You're excited, but that one's not. And you try to pump that person up all you can. Guess what? You got half the family there that's not going to be very happy. And then you have children, and guess what? Then you have other people. And you know what? Children choose sides. They do. And more than likely, they'll choose the easy way. And that's whatever the one that's less spiritual will allow. And they'll try to get their way that way. And it was your choice as you walk down the aisle. And yeah, it's fun. I've done a lot of weddings. You know, I've been in a lot of weddings, and I've shot a lot of weddings, and you know, you see all the happiness and everything, and you see the husband-to-be looking down, the bride's coming, and the stars in the eyes, you know, and everybody's all happy for them, and you know, they're walking here, and they walk up here, and everybody's just like, wow, they're so beautiful together, and blah, blah, blah. But do they belong to the Lord? Because beauty just changed like that. I'm from Los Angeles, and that's a place where it seems like everybody has to be beautiful, and you know, you got all these movie stars, you got the best-looking people around, marrying the best-looking people around, and guess what? They're divorced in 6 months or less. So beauty wasn't everything, was it? And I think the most beautiful thing is when I see two older people holding hands, going to church. That's the best thing that I've ever seen. I mean, it doesn't come. I mean, that beautiful person that just got married, that may be 19, 20 years old, that's just gorgeous, doesn't compare to two godly people that weathered the storms and look at each other like it was just the other day. And they both know that they're going to the same place. You know, I know that we're not going to be married in heaven. But I sure want my wife there. You know, in the Old Testament, it said that do not intermarry in Deuteronomy chapter 7. And the reason why is because they were going to turn the people over to their gods. For some reason, we think that we are above that and that it doesn't affect us today because we don't have gods. They have gods. But we do have gods. We have gods. Anything that replaces God is a god. Whether it's, you know, I'll just name some of the things that I like. I like to play racquetball. I like to play golf. I like to play football. I like to weightlift. I like to take pictures. You know, you guys know that. I like to do, you know, those things. But if any of those get in the way of God, they are my God. And, you know, we have to learn that, is that whoever you marry, make sure that God is number one first. God needs to be number one. It's sad because I know this lady in the church, and she, many years ago, the 1970s, she insisted on getting married to someone that was not a Christian. So one of the preacher that was preaching there at the time says, you cannot do that. You cannot do that. I will not perform the wedding, and I disagree with that. Well, it's been about, I don't know, 10 preachers since then this lady has had a horrible marriage. She had three children, or four children. Not one of them are Christian. She's got grandchildren. Not one of them are Christians. And you know what? She, if she were here today, she would tell you that the church was the problem. The church didn't do this for my children. The church didn't do this. And you know what? Her spouse passed away from cancer. He was a chewer. He chewed all the time. But you know, he talked to me. And he says, you know what, Paul? Someday, he says, I'm going to get dunked. Someday I'm going to be a Christian. But he never did. He's off into eternity. His wife is a mess. She's a gossip. If you want to know anything about me, talk to her. She'll tell you. If you don't even want to know about me, she'll talk to you about me. I wasn't even here when she made that bad mistake. But you know what? That's the way it is. If you marry someone that doesn't belong to the Lord. Marriage, God designed it to be the happiest thing ever. Did you know that? Adam and Eve, put them together in the perfect place. It was designed for the perfect place, perfect relationship, everything. But the devil came around and messed things up. So we see here that, you know, Proverbs 18 says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. And I think about that and I understand that because, you know, even as Genesis says that God looked all over the place. He looked at the elephants, and he looked at, you know, here Adam, he was out there, and he was probably doing all the fishing and hunting he could do, and he finally got bored of that, you know, and he needed somebody to be with him forever and ever. And so here he is. God says, okay, that dinosaur, or that's not good. Even, oh, there's a dog. Oh, no, we're not going to put him there. So then God formed that perfect helper, the perfect person, Eve. And you know, I think about it, that's what God did. That's what God did. So we look at this here, and Matthew Henry says there, let's look back at Proverbs 18 and verse 22. Proverbs 18 and verse 22. It says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. I looked up Matthew Henry, and I'm not going to read what he said because it's kind of like old English, so it kind of doesn't make sense sometimes. But anyway, this is what he said. He says that it's talking about that when you find a wife, she's like a precious jewel, but she's not only good for right now to have a happy life, but she's also great to point you to eternal life. Okay? Now just think about that. Sometimes people have happy marriages and it's kind of a mutual agreement. We're just going to be friends and stuff like that. And I don't understand that, you know, but they kind of get along, okay? They don't want any children. They're just, nope, we're just going to enjoy ourselves and this and that. God didn't design it that way. God said, be fruitful and multiply. Okay, so anyway, what we have here is how can my spouse be great for me here on earth? Well, because a godly husband or a godly wife is a great blessing because of his or her attitude. Just imagine. I'll tell you what, attitude goes a long ways. Attitude can make something really rotten enjoyable. It can. I don't know if you guys were here during the Cherokee camp days, but it doesn't compare to here, camp-wise. But there were some good times there. There were some really good times. And I think about that. What was it? Was it the grounds? It was the Christian attitude, wasn't it? And I, you know, I was looking at some of my pictures that I had from way back then. And it's kind of sad because a lot of those couples in there and those pictures are not couples anymore. Attitude. They don't belong to God. One of those, or both, don't belong to God. And at that time, and you could look at those pictures, they were happy, they were smiling, and they were just having a great time, singing praises and everything. They had little children. These little children are big now. Some of them have children. You know, when you marry in the Lord, you see, life is a long journey. And when you have a good partner, it makes it sweet. But if you don't, even a short trip to the grocery place is not very happy. I mean, I've seen it. You know, where you're, I've gone to Walmart and man, they'd be chewing each other out. I mean, at least they chew each other out in the car, not, because I've seen it also in the grocery store too, in which they're having a sparring partner right there, you know. But God does not intend it for it to be that way. A person who does not have Christ as their personal Savior is going to do what he or she wants no matter what. And you know what? It don't matter how big you are, how strong you are, you're not going to make or change that person. No. You're not. I've seen little tiny women control great big men. You know? So how do you think you as that big man going to change that little woman? You're not. She needs to start off belonging to the Lord. And you need to start off belonging to the Lord. The blessing that comes from marrying someone who belongs to the Lord is that you don't have to change them. It's hard enough changing me. You know, I loved coming to camp because I listened to all these preaching, all these scriptures and examples and stuff like that. And I'm doing this little tweaking here and tweaking there of myself. And I'm asking God, give me wisdom where else I need to tweak and stuff because I need to change. Imagine if I had to worry about my wife too. Now, you know, Terry, she needs it. Hey, preach it, Tim. You know, preach it. You know, Terry needs a little more of this. Don, come on. You know, I just go over here and I just kind of like a funnel, just feed me. And Lord, please change me. I don't want to be worried about changing my wife. God already is working on her and continues to work on her. That's not my problem. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. A godly spouse is going to be cheerful. Why wouldn't they be? You know, we were listening to, and I do believe that we're toward the last days and such like that, but I can look at it in a different way that I'm going to see God sooner. And, you know, it's amazing because sometimes when I'm down, my wife will cheer me up and she'll change the light on it so that I, oh, yeah. And you know what? I do the same for her. But what if we have, like, a wife like Mrs. Job? Remember Mrs. Job? Okay, I don't know what her name is, but I guess her name was Mrs. Job. And so here she was. Job was having a tough time, and we all have tough times, don't we? And we have a tough time and we're just like down. And she says, oh, you know what? Just curse God and die. What kind of wife is that? Maybe she was looking for another one. I don't know. You know, Job was wealthy and stuff. He probably had good, you know, insurance and stuff. I don't know. But, you know, curse God and die. It's like, what? I thank God because my wife wouldn't say that. My wife would say, get up, Paul. Get your attitude right. And you know what? That's what we need. We need a marriage partner that's going to help us to eternity. You know what I like about that person that belongs to the Lord is they are afraid and they fear and they respect God. So whatever happens, nothing trumps God. And so if we're in a heated, you know how it is, when you're in a, you can call it argument or whatever, some people call it discussion, that's a little more proper, you know. But if you're in a argument and stuff, who's right? Aren't both right? You know, in their eyes, you're both right. And there's no changing usually during that argument. But God says, let's look at Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So if you want that bout or sparring session to continue on, to keep saying harsh words. But if you want it to stop, it says what? A gentle answer. And you know what? Nothing's worse than when you're yelling and screaming, the other guy's whispering. Because then you want to find out what they're saying, because you want to argue about that. And sooner or later you think, oh, what a mess I'm in. And you know what? Don't have that corrupted view of arguing. I've heard this. I love to argue and fight because I love to kiss and make up. I've heard that in the church. I don't need an argument for that. God gives me permission for that. I've got a loving wife. So don't distort it. As far as what Matthew Henry said, he says that he's going to help you to make it to heaven. And you know, I think that's so awesome. My wife has given me great years, you know, 22 years, and I have two children, and that's awesome. That's a big, big blessing. But ultimately, we both want to make it to heaven. And we want to take as many people as we want. I feel like we're like bus drivers. She's my co-bus driver. When I get tired, then she starts driving. And then let's get as many people on this bus to get to heaven. But if she wasn't a person that belonged to the Lord, she'd be like when you're a little kid. Remember when you used to ride the little red wagon, the little radio flyer, whatever it was called, remember? And you would ride it, and it was so fun. We lived in those hills there in L.A., and you'd have a lot of fun, and they'd be pushing you or pulling you or whatever. And then it was your turn, and you had to do the pulling. And so you would be doing the pulling, and you thought, well, I can't wait till I get back there. And it was real heavy. And you look, and the people are dragging their feet. And you're like, man, that's not right. Well, you know what it is, if you marry someone that's not in the Lord, they're going to drag their feet wherever you go. And it's not going to be fun. And you know, I've even seen some get discouraged and give up because their spouse was not faithful. Our spouse will have a good attitude in whatever we do. They will not dishonor God. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 27. And I like to close with this. Proverbs chapter 27, in verse 15, beginning. A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. I think that's kind of graphic there. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with the hand. A lot of times we stop right there, don't we? But I believe 17 goes right along with it. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. There's two choices there. You can choose someone that's going to fight you all the time. Might be that beautiful wallflower. Or you can marry somebody that belongs to the Lord that will sharpen you, give you an excellent life, and you'll be able to watch each other grow. And you know, I don't know if you've been on Facebook yet, but I took a picture of the Smith grandchildren right here, okay? But I opened up my lens so that it included Brother Don and Jerry in the picture. And they're watching. There's generations there. One generation passing on to the next generation, to the next generation, to the fourth generation. You know why that happens? Because they belong to the Lord. I want you guys to have the best marriage. Amen. And that both of you will go to heaven. And your children, and your children's children, and their children. That's what Apostle Paul said, didn't he? In Acts chapter 2. You repent, be baptized, every one of you. And what was the purpose? Is for them, their children, and their children's children. Don't break that. Let's stand.